dating these days is pretty damn hard, or at least I find it to be. Meeting people online kind of sucks. So I try and get out there and, like, you know, do things and hopefully come across somebody, you know, the old fashioned way, like in person. So anyway, let's talk relationships, a satanic automobile, and some Ray Liotta.
You are my density. You are my density.
So my mom visited recently, and we went to the DeYoung Open in San Francisco at the DeYoung Museum. It's pretty cool. It's like they just had people from different counties nearby send in like artwork that they've done and stuff. And there's some pretty amazing things there. Seeing some of it's garbage, but yeah, just the walls were just filled with different paintings and photographs and stuff like that. And it's pretty cool. And my mom was able to confirm the fact that I'm not going crazy, that the lights here are timed so terribly. I mean, if you miss a light, you might be there for 5 minutes. And I have a new name for Sunnyvale. From now on, I will call it Shittyvale. And my mom and I will kind of go to random movies every once in a while. For some reason, we've been to see like the two Equalizers in the theater. I saw Equalizer 3 by myself. It was kind of terrible. So my mom and I kind of both dig Joel Kinnaman. And we saw RoboCop, the 2014 version, in the theater. You know, it wasn't that great. But anyway, there's a new movie that just came out with him called Silent Night, kind of a revenge flick directed by John Woo about, you know, his kid gets killed and he just kind of, you know, goes and enacts his revenge. It is dialogue-free, and unfortunately, it's also basically plot-free. I mean, the story is as thin as Christian Bale and The Machinist. Boom! Some terrible indie movie joke for you. Anyway, The Machinist was from 2004, directed by Brad Anderson, my man Brad Anderson, who did Session 9 that I mentioned before. And shame on you, you people that haven't watched it yet. He also did Fractured from 2019. I think it's on Netflix, with like some strange goings on in a hospital. You kind of don't know what's going on. Is it like Twilight Zone-y? And then Sam Worthington is in it, who seems like an okay guy, but I've always thought he was kind of a dud as an actor. He was in, you know, famously in both Avatars. I think I watched 5 minutes of the first Avatar and it was like, this is not, I have no interest in this shit. But anyway, Joel Kinnaman is pretty cool in the movie. But yeah, it's like there's a bunch of corny like training montages and like fighting and shooting and all this bullshit. But there was a highlight for me. There was this little wind up music toy, plays this little song. It basically belonged to his kid who got killed. And so he'll wind it up and listen to it every once in a while just to kind of, you know, remember his child or just to get inspiration. But yeah, it's called Junior's Music Box, and it's composed by Marco Beltrami. And it kind of goes like this. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, it's on Spotify if you want to check it out. And a quick funny thing, I remember when I was in the theater with my mom, you know, a few days ago, I was sitting in the chair and all of a sudden I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why is my ass so hot? And I looked over and there was like, I guess, you know, one of those seat warmer things that you could put on for the chair, for the theater, movie theater chair. And I turned it on by accident and then my brain realized my ass was on fire. And it's funny, this happened to me one other time. I was driving with my mom. I was driving her car. She was, you know, in the passenger seat. And I was driving and just like, you know, 2 minutes of like hot ass. And I was just like, what the fuck? What's wrong with my ass? And then I saw the damn thing was on, the fucking hot seat heater thing, whatever, which I never would use in my life. So at work, this girl said to me the other day, oh, you're funny. You know, why don't you have a girlfriend? And this was a coworker, not a client at the psychiatric hospital. But to this same girl, I recommended that she watch Blowout, and she told me, oh, it looked too old. So I don't know if I totally trust her opinion on anything. But anyway, you know, she asked, blah, 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 why don't you have a girlfriend? And I just like, you know, it's hard to meet people these days. And online, every time I try something online, it turns out to be fake, or I'm waiting for like the other person to be like, have you ever considered investing in Bitcoin? there's always some bullshit online. And I've always been terrible at asking girls out. I used to literally, I would ask like a friend of a friend or a friend of the girl. I'd be like, will she go out with me? Can you just ask her? And then basically we both knew that I was going to ask her and we both knew that she was going to say yes. So that's the only way I could do it. And I used to edit TV commercials and advertising. There's like a large pool of people to meet. I mean, you'd meet agency people, you'd meet people at the, you know, telecine place or the sound mixing place or parties. And so there was like this, you know, large pool to pull from. And nursing school had a little bit of a pool. So I, you know, I had a girlfriend there. She was completely psychotic, but anyway. But yeah, as I've started working in these psychiatric hospitals, it's like, you know, you have a small crew usually, and, you know, you usually don't want to date people that you, you know, work with, and then people have lives and families. And as I get older, it's like, they've got stuff going on and I'm like, somebody go out, let's go out with me, please. I had a life somewhere and then it kind of like dropped off, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but I still remain hopeful to find someone. But one of the few times I actually successfully planned a date was I had the hots for this receptionist, Mary, at the place I used to work at, the editorial facility, late 90s. And she wanted to act. She was into acting and stuff, plays and stuff. So I got two tickets to see Al Pacino doing this one act Eugene O'Neill play. It's called Huey. It was at the Mark Taper Forum in downtown L.A. And we went to it. We had a couple drinks at the show. We went after, you know, to a bar afterwards and like made out. And it was like one of the greatest evenings ever. And she was a great girl. I mean, she eventually moved to Arizona to live there and kind of to act in plays. We did the whole long distance thing for a while, but it didn't totally last. But it's funny, one time when she was, you know, we were still going out and I visited her in Arizona, we went to this cowboy bar in Prescott or something. And, you know, we got drunk as hell and we were walking back to her car and we sat in a car, got inside and we're like, you know, and to put the keys in and it was like not working. We're like, what the hell? And then we were looking around. We're like, oh shit, this isn't the right car. But it was like the same model, I think, you know, more or less looked like it. I'm like, what the fuck? So we like, you know, just got out of there and like found her car. But I'll never forget that. And I'll also never forget this random ass movie from 1999. This is when we were still going out. It's with Owen Wilson. It's called The Minus Man, directed by Hampton Fancher. This is actually the only movie Hampton Fancher ever directed. He also co-wrote the movie Blade Runner, which was based on the Philip K. Dick novel. But yeah, it's a slow movie. Owen Wilson plays this like serial killer. It's not horrid. I actually watched about half of it yesterday and it's not too bad. But anyway, I was really tired and I just remember we were in the theater, me and Mary. And, you know, there was quite a few people in there and I fell asleep during the movie. And then like, I don't know, 30 minutes later, I woke myself up by farting like really loud. And I don't fart too often. So it was like, but it was just like, you know, funny as hell. She was cracking up. I was cracking up. And so, yeah, I will never forget The Minus Man. That's fucking locked into my head. And just totally quick side note, the music for The Minus Man is done by, wait for it, Stacy Keach. No, I'm totally kidding. But it is by Marco Beltrami, who I just mentioned before. He did the movie Silent Night with the little, you know, wind up toy thing. So kind of weird, kind of a weird detail. And while me and Mary were going out, my car had gotten totaled. I'm pretty sure that was my fault. And I found an American Motorcars Javelin or something, which is this big monstrosity of a muscle car. Totally not my type of car. I've always driven teeny ass like CRXs or just like, and I'm 6'3", but I fit well in these fucking little things. I had a Veloster. I loved my Veloster. They just stopped making those recently. But anyway, so yeah, I was like, oh, this car is kind of cool, you know. So I flew out to Arizona and the family met me at the airport, took me to their place and like showed me the car. And I was just so kind of stupid and kind of intimidated. I just was like, yeah, this is perfect. And I just remember like, you know, giving them a check or something and driving off and barely being able to like drive the thing off. It was just so like powerful. And it was just a farce. And Mary, I drove her back from Arizona. We stopped off at a couple places. But anyway, the car fucking died in Pomona. Had to get it towed from Pomona to L.A. I spent like $3,000 in repairs on this fucking thing. I mean, it would set off car alarms. It wasn't street legal. It had no seat belts. It was the biggest error ever. And one time, me and my buddy Philbrook, we tried to jumpstart it. We actually filmed it. And the fucking cables, like, lit on fire. This is no joke. And we're just like, what the hell? And then, like, there was no, like, key in the ignition, but it was, like, trying to start itself. I don't even know what was happening. It was wild. Eventually, I got rid of this goddamn thing. So anyway, after we broke up, I was just a mess. I was at work. I would like go into the closet and cry and shit. And so I was just like, "What, dude, whatever. I am going on a trip, a solo trip." I got some Virgin Airlines package to go to London and Paris. And it was fun. I mean, I just, you know, again, I was not the most seasoned traveler at this point. So I was kind of an idiot. But yeah, London was okay. Paris was super pretty. And I, you know, I kind of like going to cemeteries where there's like famous people and stuff. So, of course, I went to Père Lachaise and saw Jim Morrison. "I want roses in my garden bower, dig." And God, who's there? Chopin and Oscar Wilde. Famously, one his supposed last quote was, "My wallpaper and I are fighting a duel to the death. One or the other of us must go." And then there's also the Montparnasse Cemetery. With Serge Gainsbourg, who was kind of a sleaze, sounded like. At the end there, he was just drinking a shit ton of liquor. He would drink, I read a detail, it was kind of funny, that he would drink this stuff called Pastis 51. And when he would go and order a double at the bar, he would say, you know, Pastis 102. Or if he had a triple, he'd be like, Pastis 153. And Charles Baudelaire is also buried there. And Jean-Paul Sartre, who said, "Hell is other people." But there's one girl I really always, you know, I was always in love with, is Jean Seberg. Kind of a pixie haircut, cute, really just super pretty girl. And she was famously in 1960s Breathless by Jean-Luc Godard and Jean-Paul Belmondo. Yeah, classic French film, French New Wave, the beginning of the French New Wave, blah, blah, blah. Very cool, very stylish. She was also famously Joan of Arc in Otto Preminger's St. Joan. And I always liked the sad little Bonjour Tristesse, also directed by Otto Preminger. Yeah, Bonjour Tristesse, it's a pretty little movie. She looks great in it. It's kind of tragic, and it's about jealousy, and just, yeah, it ends pretty darkly. But, yeah, and it's got a great little theme song. If you ever look that up, just the musical theme is amazing. She got into some, like, political stuff, and she ended up getting targeted by the FBI, that whole, like, you know, J. Edgar Hoover, you know, investigate everybody kind of thing. She ended up committing suicide in the backseat of her car. She had, like, barbiturates in there, and I guess supposedly a letter to her son, part of which read, "Forgive me, I can no longer live with my nerves," which is sad. And, you know, she was only 40. So rest in peace. Yeah, so anyway, I was smoking at the time when I was in Paris, and, you know, I was smoking Galois Blonde and, like, drinking coffees and stuff. Still was very intimidated by the whole scene. It was pretty as hell, but I did not speak, and I was by myself and just had this little dictionary. So I kind of stayed to myself the whole trip, but I did have fun, and it was weird. Like, on the last day I was there, this woman kind of walked up to me, this French girl, and she was like, you know, kind of whatever, clearly interested in me for some reason, or maybe she was going to, you know, steal my money. But anyway, we started talking, and, you know, she was like, "Oh, let's go get an espresso." And, you know, so we sat there and talked, and it was, you know, pretty cool. But it's like the last day, and I'm like, why didn't you, like, find me, you know, 2 days ago? Could have, like, you know, went to dinner or something. Speaking of French stuff, there's a great Leo Carax movie. It's called Malvoisin. It's, which is translated as Bad Blood, from 1986 with Denis Levant, the amazing-looking Denis Levant and Juliette Binoche. There's some, like, mysterious STD that's going around that's spread by having, like, you know, sex without any kind of emotional commitment. And Denis Levant, he tries to find the serum, and it's a great film. It's just got such style. It's well-directed. And it's weird. Denis Levant actually was trained in, like, you know, theater and also circus skills, the art of circus. If that's a word. But I was thinking maybe I should do that. I mean, it can't hurt, you know, having some circus skills around. But there's a great scene. Denis Levant, he's dancing and jumping down the street to the David Bowie's Modern Love, the song from 1983. God, it's amazing. It's exhilarating. He's just jumping and flipping and doing all this shit. Kind of reminiscent of that last scene in Another Round with Mads Mikkelsen, where he's just like, you know, jumping around, and it's just totally cathartic. But yeah, Modern Love is just a great song, you know. There's no sign of life. It's just the power to charm. I'm lying in the rain, but I never wave bye-bye. But I try. Great song, anyway. And it was weird. After I got back from the trip, I had kind of, when I was booking the Virgin Airlines trip, I was getting along like super well with the girl on the phone. And it was funny because I was just getting over a breakup and going to fucking London and Paris to get, you know, to try and just lose my whatever, forget thinking about this stuff. And so anyway, we got along really well. We exchanged info. And then when I got back from the trip, I emailed her and she wrote me back and we exchanged photos. And I was like, shit, she's pretty cute. And so anyway, she lived in Seattle. I ended up going up there and it was just amazing. I mean, we like ate dinner and then just whatever. It was a great time. We ended up going out for a while. The long distance thing didn't really work. But yeah, her name was Allison. And she was a super nice girl. Just, you know, some of those things are hard, those distance things. And that's enough talk about relationships for now. I've had others, you know, I'll mention them at some point. But anyway, when I'm thinking about relationships and twisted relationships or healthy relationships or obsessions, blah, 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 I think of a couple of Ray Liotta movies. Ray Liotta, the dearly departed Ray Liotta, one of my favorites. And I actually saw him walking around West Side Pavilion in Los Angeles probably mid to late 90s, where he was wearing like a track suit, but he looked just amazing. Totally Goodfellas vibe. Yeah, this is like pretty much the height of his coolness. But anyway, me and my mom used to watch this terrible, it was kind of terrible, this TV show called Shades of Blue that he did with Jennifer Lopez. And he had the goofy, you know, his voice, by then his voice was so low and he was always, her name was Harley. So he'd always be like, Harley, you don't know what's going on here, or, you know, whatever. Harley, if I don't see you alive, I'm going to find you, you know. But yeah, it was, I have a sweet spot for Ray Liotta. But anyway, one great one about like relationships and missing someone and loss was 1996 Unforgettable, directed by the amazing John Dahl, who I'll get into at some point. He just has just some great noir movies. Linda Fiorentino plays like a kind of a researcher scientist. Peter Coyote is a cop. Ray Liotta plays a doctor. And his wife was killed. And he just, you know, he misses her so much. And he sees this like experimental presentation that Linda Fiorentino, she's like, you know, injecting whatever chemicals and cerebrospinal fluid from somebody. And then you basically can see through that person's eyes. So he's like so obsessed. He like, you know, breaks in, steals the formula. And then he, you know, since he's a doctor, he has like, I don't know, some cerebrospinal fluid that they say that saved from his wife. So then he starts like injecting himself to try and see her memories from the last night to find her killer and to avenge her death. It's totally fantastic. It's like, you know, just a fun movie. It's, you know, it's kind of stupid. It's kind of ridiculous, you know, looks great. Must have had a fairly decent budget, or at least looks like it. But just a fun-ass movie. Not believable, but just, you know, great. And then one of my favorites that I just revisited recently was 1986's Something Wild, directed by Jonathan Demme. This is more of a toxic relationship, but there's also kind of a little beautiful relationship in it as well. Melanie Griffith plays this like, you know, totally wacky chick, and she comes across Jeff Daniels, this super uptight banker, and then, you know, they basically meet up, kind of meet cute, and then she, you know, he's like, she's like, come on, let's go on a trip, and he's like, all right, whatever, you know. He kind of tries to loosen up, and Jeff Daniels is just funny as hell in it. And so anyway, they go end up going back to her house and seeing her mom, and then they go to this high school reunion, and that's when they come across Ray Liotta, her ex-convict, like violent boyfriend who's there. His new girlfriend is Margaret Colin, but he's just frightening. This is Ray Liotta at his, he's just ferocious, like young, fierce, is, oh my God, looks great, piercing eyes, scary as shit. And so yeah, he basically, you know, takes Melanie Griffith away, and then Jeff Daniels has to like kind of try and fight back, or he's, you know, it's just, it's a great movie. Totally, I recommend that to everyone. And it's, you know, 1986, so shouldn't look too old. if that person from my work is listening, because, you know, I'm still pissed off about that blowout. I mean, blowout, just sit there and watch the movie. It's great. Looks too old. What is the... Anyway. So anyway, another random episode in the books. On the books. In the books? But anyway, let's end on a couple of quotes, or three quotes, actually, about love and the search for love. Let me give you one from D.H. Lawrence. Those that go searching for love only make manifest their own lovelessness, and the loveless never find love. Only the loving find love, and they never have to seek for it. I'm not too sure on that one, to be honest with you, but whatever. And then this is a great one for the more cynical of us, an Oscar Wilde quote. This is so goddamn perceptive, but anyway. When one is in love, one always begins by deceiving oneself, and one always ends by deceiving others. That is what the world calls a romance. Totally awesome. What a great quote. And we'll end on the legendary George Burns, who once said, "Love is a lot like a toothache. It doesn't show up on x-rays, but you know it's there."